When a relationship isn't working, sometimes the only thing to do is to break up. Same goes for your financial advisor. But how do you know when things should be over? How can you tell when it's time to see other advisors? And would a breakup greeting card help get the job done? Here to tell us more is Hennick Wealth Management's Adam Hennick. Hello there.
Hello. How are you?
You are here because I saw these cards.
Right.
And I think these cards are fantastic and ridiculous in equal measure. Yeah. So tell me about the idea for the cards.
So the idea originally was a lot of people have come to me over in the past and said, I haven't done well, and they're so apathetic. They're like, I think I should move. I shouldn't move.
Yeah.
And we just joked about it one day and with a friend of mine. And I said, you know, I should do these cards, you know, break up with your financial advisor.
Yeah.
We had a hoot putting it together.
So the cover of one is It's Not Me. It's You, Not Me.
Right.
Fare Thee Well is another one. And then one begins with, I need to move on and take care of my fate. Your returns were just too little too late.
That's
correct.
Did
you have some fun with the poetry? Could this be a sideline for other greeting cards for you that are outside of just this? Or is this going to be your specialty?
Unless it's something to do with my hobbies, no.
Right. So, what were you doing with the different versions of the cards?
Well, a lot of times I always thought it's about performance. Whereas I've looked at what you've done. I've read the How to Rock Your RSP book, for instance.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the RSP account or a TFSA account as a wine cellar.
Yeah.
Right. And so the other aspect for me is what's in the wine cellar. And that's what excites me. So most people talk about how bad their performance has been or that they have no idea the kind of performance that they've had. It's too opaque. They can't understand the statements when they make phone calls to their advisors and never really hear the proper answer. In fact, if I get anything, people assume it's 7%.
Right.
So it's sort of that's the genesis of this idea originally. And then we had fun with it because I found that I started to show people my RSPs and some existing clients' accounts, how they performed, you know, blacking out their names and offering names of people that they could speak to. So that's where the genesis. And then we had some fun with it.
Leaving a marriage, there are a lot of switching costs.
Yes,
absolutely. A lot of switching costs. Leaving a financial advisor, there can be switching costs, not so much in dollars, but in the psychological toll it takes for people to deliver the breakup message, find someone new, and move everything over. What are the number one through three things you should think about to guide your decision as to whether or not it's time to leave? Because I get this question a lot. And one of the things that I want to make sure people do is endeavor to improve the relationship that they're in first, because otherwise it's going to be the same dynamic with a new person.
Right. So
I sound like a marriage counselor.
No, but it's a great question. Why would you be with somebody? So, you know, unless you're having some sort of performance. So for me, I'm really about performance. I think if you're with somebody and they do a good job for you, you've set guidelines for them, and you're meeting as a financial advisor, I have to meet those expectations. And if I'm not, because sometimes markets get wonky and people get a little nervous, are you there to hold my hand throughout that process? So what I think people should be looking for is finding the right type of individual, because I'm not the right person for each for the everyday client. Certain personalities will work well with me. But I think the most important thing is find a financial advisor who has a track record of success and can show you that track record of success and is willing to continuously show you that track record of success. And if they can do that, you will separate 95% of the financial advisors.
How do they do that, especially when they need to factor in fees? How do they do that?
So transfer fees are nominal.
I don't mean the transfer fees.
Right.
I mean the ongoing carry, either the fee-only fee or the commission fee, depending on the structure.
I think none of it matters. We would all pay a premium for better financial advice. That's
really?
What I believe. Yeah, I think
if the fee was 3%, could you in good conscience send your best friend to someone who charged 3%?
Absolutely. I charge 3%.
Really?
So, and I charge on a commission basis. So I do per transaction.
Per transaction. So are you doing stocks or are you doing
stocks for stocks? For bonds, we charge less.
What about mutual funds?
Mutual funds, I don't recommend them. My clients don't own them.
Okay.
Except money market.
So why I say that is many people, they're not paying 3%, but they're paying 2.3% on mutual funds. Right.
Right.
So taking a 3% commission on a stock that you're going to hold for 30 years is no big deal to the retail investor, but to someone to pay a 2.3% fee on their assets over time is a massive hit to performance.
It is, as long as the performance is there. So if you find—
But it's impossible for someone to exceed—
Mutual funds, I agree.
It's impossible for them to—
I think you can do better in owning shares than you would in mutual funds. So I think the fees are a big subject. I think a lot of people talk about fees like they are like the reason why we aren't performing. The reason why people aren't performing in their RSPs or in their investments, to me, is all because of the performance. I would gladly pay a premium fee for better performance. That's the key. So if you're looking for a new financial advisor, or you're going to break up with your current one, or you want to see if you should break up with your current one, the first thing you should do is figure out what your compounded annualized rate of return inclusive of fees has been in the time that you've been with them. And really, that time should be 3 to 5 years at least.
How would you show them your benchmark? Do you have a way to aggregate the performance of your clients?
Of course. So each client is going to be different, but we're not all that much different. So if somebody comes to me and says, this is the way I see myself, I can find a pretty close account that's been, you know, that has the proper mix of fixed income, cash, and securities that I could show them as a benchmark. I also am prepared to show them my own RSP with my name on it, and because everything I invest.
What's your minimum asset level?
It's $250,000, or if I like the person, if I think I can work with that person, it used to be a firm number, but sometimes people come in and I can see that they're going to grow the value of the accounts over time, or I like them and I think I can work with them. That's right. Actually a really important component.
You and I disagree profoundly on one very important thing. I think performance is a commodity because anybody can get it through an exchange traded fund. But what is magic, what is brilliant, what is fundamentally the alter someone's financial well-being over time is amazing planning and accountability. And the thing that I have that in this marketplace that makes me bananas crazy is the unwillingness for many advisors to hold their clients to account. So how would I get that from you or any of your peers? How would I see whether or not they would treat me like a personal trainer would treat me, which is drop and give me 20 because you said you wanted guns. So you want guns, you need to do the exercise. You need to do the work.
Well, I think the industry has moved in the direction of flat fee, which sort of takes the advisor sometimes out of the game. You know, we've put you in, it relies on the apathy. You need an advisor who's engaged. And no matter who it is, whether it's me or whether it's yourself managing your own, you have to find somebody who's engaged, because often people will call me and say, I'm a little worried about this investment. I'm a little worried about that. It's my job to say, no, we're good. Stay with it. Or if you're that concerned, we can close it out. But here are the consequences. You have to be accountable. If you're going to be a financial advisor, just like you're going to be a doctor, you have to be accountable to the client.
So we started with the cards. I still love the idea of the cards.
Right.
What does the conversation sound like to the advisor that you are leaving? How would you script that for someone who was like, no, cards is a cute idea, but I need to deliver it person to person. What words fall out of their mouth?
I would say the best thing to do is to phone that advisor. Direct contact. You know, some people would want to do it by email, but I think direct contact.
And what do you say?
And you say, I've decided to move on. And that's it. Thank you for what you've done. I mean, there really isn't much else to say. Once you've made that decision to change doctors or change financial advisors.
Do you give them feedback so they know the reason why you're moving?
Some do. But I one of the strengths of my practice, we don't have a lot of people leave.
Yeah.
Right. So
you don't expect you're going to receive one of your very own cards.
Maybe
that'd be kind
I
of
will.
Ironic. Maybe
yeah, no,
you will.
It would be. Well,
maybe
somebody
you
sent
will.
Me one. Somebody sent me one questioning the grammar already. So.
Nice, Adam Hennick, Hennick Wealth Management. We were talking about how to break up with your financial advisor, including some greeting cards he's come up with. I think are hilarious.